Good afternoon, Adam. Wait a minute. Good morning, Adam.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, good day.
The sun is shining, gets me all confused. Get disoriented after months of grayness.
What are you, a vampire? What do you mean? You get
that's right. It's a beautiful day out. Springtime's coming. Uh-huh. That's what's so nice about living in Northeast Ohio. You basically appreciate spring more than people living in year-round sun and warmth. And you really, really appreciate it. There are more people walking yesterday. You had to watch out to didn't trample them so much, when you're driving out of the complex. So, but it's nice. I'm going to take a walk today.
That's good.
But, yeah, I'm going to take a walk because I'm worried about I got to go to the bank. I got to get a loan. And, man, I'm scared, Adam. I'm scared. I don't know how the hell to talk to a banker. I mean, what do I say? These guys got their suits and their ties on, and they try to be affable, if that's the right word. They look down their glasses at you a little bit, and they ask these questions. I don't even know what they're talking about. I'm totally intimidated. How in the world, How do I stop being intimidated? Boy. Well, since that's not really me, but I know it's a lot of people listening to this, a lot of our clients through the years of business coaching, we basically see that, the fear in their eyes that they have to go talk to a banker or any suit and tie for the most part, but we're talking bankers today. Why is that such a hard thing to do? I'm running my company. I finally put in a little cash management programs. And I'm trying to look out beyond today and my checkbook. And all of a sudden, hey, I'm going to be short some funds every once in a while if I run into a little tough spot. So what do I do? How do I not be intimidated?
Well, Jack, you're touching on a very sensitive chord. I think this is something that definitely strikes fear in the hearts of even the bravest of business owners, Jack. If here you are in your office and you get a message, hey, your banker's on the phone and would like to speak with you, right? That's going to strike tremendous fear in your heart. And what happens during those situations, Jack, is I think many owners will go to very dark places, right? They'll, what could she possibly want, Jack? Right? Why is she calling me? Does she know that my key employee is threatening to leave, right? That upset customer call her to complain, right? Did she pull my line of credit? All of a sudden, I start going to these very dark places. What's kind of going on? And as a good business owner, I kind of fight through those fears and that intimidation. And I pick up the phone and I find out and see how the banker's doing. And I'm so relieved, Jack. I've never been so relieved in my life to hear a sales pitch, right? A sales pitch. Like, oh, she's just calling me, Jack, to let me know about this fantastic new cash management tool that they've got as part of the bank that she wants to, just let me know.
Oh, I better quit thinking so darkly. I better do something about this so that when I get a call like that, and I'll walk away because it's okay.
Right.
No problem.
So, yeah.
But why am I so afraid? That's your question, right?
Yeah.
Why are we so afraid of that?
That's it. And it's one of those dirty secrets, Jack. And come back to like a dirty secret alert here, right? This is one of the dirty secrets of small businesses that most owners of small businesses are afraid of their bankers. And even more so than that, most of the bankers, Jack, to your point, don't even realize it. They don't realize that they're intimidating because they don't see themselves that way, right? They come, hey, I'm here to help, develop and increase and improve relationship, Jack. And I'm trying to get to know each other. And I'm trying to be affable and a lovable kind of person. And I want you to like me. And I want to help you, right? And so, again, how could there be such a disconnect about these things, right? And so, there are ways to do it better. There are ways to do it better. And I think, as we know, Jack, most owners are not as familiar with or not as comfortable with their financials quite often as maybe they should be. And so to your point, as I'm talking to a banker, well, the banker, it's all about numbers, right? All about numbers. And so here I am in a situation where I'm not feeling confident of my skills and my abilities, certainly to the person I'm talking to, right? And so that's
right.
Often a role as an owner I'm unfamiliar with in terms of that, in terms of not being the expert. If I'm sitting down with a prospect, Jack, hey, I know my product and service, better than anybody, right? So I'm good.
But if I get these, wave of the back of the hand here. If I get these financial statements that they're talking, I don't know what the heck he's talking right. about. I got an accountant to do that. I got a bookkeeper, better yet. I got a bookkeeper to do this stuff.
So here I am furiously taking notes, Jack. Furiously taking notes. And so when I do call my CPA later, or I call my attorney later, or I call my business coach later and say, hey, I heard the banker say this, right? And you're like, what does this mean? And it's like that. It's that game we all played in school, you know, the telephone game where it goes from one person to the next. Things will get lost in that translation. And
that's right.
Kind of going on. And, well, hey, let me just introduce you to my CPA. You're talking about tax returns. Well, no. Again, the banker's looking at you. The banker's looking at you as the owner because they're betting on you, not your CPA, to be able to understand this stuff. And so, but I think starting point, Jack, I think a lot of it comes from just, again, the general angst in terms of just not being comfortable with the financials to kind of know what to do or how to even say stuff, right? And you know, it's interesting. One of the best bankers that we've met over the years, Jack, we met through a process like that, okay? And you know, for those of you who are loyal listeners, or for those of you who know us off the air as well, as you guys probably know very well, Jack and I are very big in terms of the financials, in terms of the numbers, and we're very big on presenting those numbers, not just kind of getting them down, but to present them, to understand how to talk about your business from that standpoint, right? You know, as well as you talk about your product and services, you should be able to talk about your financial statements, right? And so, come back to this banker that we met, who's been a great banker for us for years. Well, we met this banker through some clients of ours. And the way it happened was because it was twofold, right? On the client standpoint, we heard our clients raving about the banker, which, Jack, that almost never happens, right?
That's unusual. Yeah, that's a very unusual event.
Yeah, it's very, you know.
for somebody to be a reviewer and recommender of their banker.
Yeah, of almost any service provider, but you know, certainly bankers is one of them, right? So here they are raving about it. And then on the flip side of this, we had, unbeknownst to us, a few of our clients were presenting and talking to this banker. And he was asking them, hey, where did you learn how to present your numbers this way? I've never seen people present like this before from an owner standpoint, right? So we were both hearing it. And lo and behold, we got together knowing, hey, we see something that's unique. Now, that this banker was realizing and appreciating in terms of what we do, how we do it, and in order to kind of be able to help the owner talk his language, right? But also, we were very impressed with this banker. The reason that the owners were raving about this banker, Jack, was in addition to doing the banker stuff in terms of helping with loans and that kind of stuff, this banker was very unusual. This banker was very helpful with things that were not banking related, right? This banker would introduce their clients to other folks that could help them. This person would even introduce them to another bank. If he couldn't help them, that, hey, this bank can help you instead.
That's right.
It's just these things you're like, what?
Like where did this guy come from? Right. You know, how in the world is he surviving in the world of bankers?
Right. So it comes, okay. So there are some very, very good bankers out there. And I think that's like most of them want to be that way, Jack. Again, come back to your point that they come in, they kind of want to be helpful, but they aren't maybe kind of sure, right? So I think that, you know, starting point is the owners aren't sure to present numbers. If you get comfortable with your numbers and presenting, that's a helpful way to get you comfortable being able to talk to your banker, Jack.
Well, it starts with the owners of the company looking at their financial statements, just looking at your balance sheet and profit and loss, just looking at it all by yourself in a lonely room somewhere. Just stare at it and see what you don't know. Even though you're pulling yourself to it, do it. And you become familiar with those statements. And you do that by asking questions. Questions of your CPA, questions of your, if you call it a bookkeeper, you should call them accountant. Your internal accountant. Ask how these numbers, these categories that are listed on these statements, how they come about to be. What's behind these numbers? You look at an item called inventory, it's pretty complicated. You should have discussions regularly with that. And if you do, that's what we're calling familiarity. You now start to get comfortable with your own numbers. And the reason you're intimidated with bankers is because you are not comfortable with your own numbers. You don't know what a balance sheet and a profit and loss statement do to the overall management of the company, because you aren't paying attention to them, because you don't like them. We know that. We know that with the biggest percentage of our clients. They just don't know. They're intimidated by numbers. They know if they go to a banker, they're going to be intimidated by the banker because the banker talks numbers. And not anyone's numbers, your numbers, stuff you should know. And you should be making decisions based on those. That's what they're for. So you got to get familiar with it. There are so many ways to become educated in a relatively short period of time to incorporate those numbers on a financial statement into the decisions of your company. That's the language. That's the scorecard. And that lets you prepare for a banker meeting if you have those.
Hold on. So I'm trying to visualize this, Jack, because you talk about, you know, sitting down with the numbers and kind of staring at them, right? And then you talk about now sitting down with the numbers across from a banker staring at them, right? And so here we are both looking at the same numbers. What are we seeing? We're seeing something very different, right? And so it's giving me flashbacks. As most of our audience knows, and folks know as well, know that you and I are not necessarily the most handy of people, Jack, right? So I had an HVAC guy over recently to kind of look at our HVAC unit because it wasn't quite working, right? And so here I am with him, and he's taking things apart. And we're both looking at the same unit, right? I have no idea what the heck I'm looking at, Jack. Right? He's mentioned this.
Great example.
Right? So, and I think that's where most of the owners are, right? And so, okay. So how do you start to kind of get comfortable? So to your point, there's ways to do it. So for me, and for many of those do-it-yourselfers, YouTube is great for that, right? In terms of kind of going on and finding some videos to see what's going on and educate yourself. Okay. That's a starting point. So again, there's online stuff. So, you know, maybe you don't want to talk to your CPA because you're intimidated to even ask those kind of questions. Well, maybe if I go online and I can see, see a course, see a podcast, see something where, again, it starts to get me educated about what's kind of going on. But to your point, it's something you got to start to engage the stuff and ask the questions.
These
are your numbers.
That's right. Well, it was your HVAC guy. Right. If you looked over his shoulder, it probably bugged the crap out of him, but that's all right. You ask questions about what he's doing and what this thing does, and okay, an hour or so doing what he's doing, you walk away with knowledge that you didn't have before and an understanding. That's what it is. It's how do I not be intimidated by my banker? By taking these steps,
right?
Simple curiosity extensions. That's all it is. Where do these things come from? I'm looking at phrases and titles that I don't understand.
Right.
Deferred revenue. What does that mean? You know, things like that.
So my HVAC guy tells me that my capacitor has gone blown out. And I ask him, is that like the flux capacitor from Back to the Future? He's kind of smiled. Yeah, that's the one, right? So, all my 80s references, I feel like Fletch, in the movie Fletch, where he's going to the airplane hangar. And he's talking about, he's undercover. Like he's a repair guy. Right? Oh, it's all bar bearings. Look at this. Hey, what are you looking over there? The flux, it's over here. Getting a bird's eye view, right? Just kind of trying to BS your way through. You can kind of see it, right? So, again, it's that pressure as the owner to kind of all of a sudden here you are, and you feel like you're in those situations where I should know this stuff, right? And they expect me to know this stuff, and it doesn't get easier, Jack, as the months and years go by, right? Because if you've been in business for a couple of years, people will often be more forgiving, or they'll be maybe less assuming, right? If you've been in business for a decade or two, they're going, hey, well, you've been doing this for a couple of decades now, Jack. You must know this stuff, right? And of course, you dutifully smile and nod and say, of course I do, right? Just hope they don't ask the wrong questions, right?
And the first question is, yeah, now you got somebody who's got to get you comfortable to get you out of the office. You don't know what you're doing.
And then they're saying, hey, that's a good looking balance sheet, Jack. And you go, oh, yeah, it is. Isn't it nice? It's here. And it's in good form. And the columns are all lined up. And it's on good paper, right? Is that what they mean? This looks good? Versus they're talking about some ratio. What's this mean? So yeah, it's getting that together. Because what happens, I think, too, so it's, part of it is that, Jack. Part of it is starting to get comfortable with your own numbers. Okay, I think that's a big part of it. I think another big part of this is just not understanding how banks work. Okay, if I could start there. And it's not like there's one way that banks work either, because each bank might be a little bit different. And so, we have a couple of quick examples here, Jack. So there was a client that we started with years ago, and the literal impetus for us starting with this client was the client in a few months, I think this was in like a January, February timeframe, by May, his line of credit was going to be up for renewal. And he was intimidated to be, what do I say to the banker? He said, I think your seven keys are kind of what I need to do, but how do I kind of do that? You know, what do I present and talk to this stuff? And as we're talking to this owner, it's kind of funny. He said, well, yeah. So, well, tell us about your relationship with the bank. You know, how did it happen? Well, I went in there a few years ago and the guy who's my banker said, well, hey, most people usually start with a line of credit. He goes, but 90+% of them take that line of credit within a couple of years and they convert it over to a term loan. That's just kind of how it usually goes, right? Because they can't quite pay it back. So they kind of suck a lot. And kind of, he's like, here's the banker who's kind of talking freely. The guy's like, okay, well, so why is he telling me that stuff, right? And it's kind of be worried. But so here's how I started to kind of talk to him and be able to engage. Story short, it was a very simple, easy renewal for him, right? Because he'd been paying, you know, paying it down. He'd been paying stuff. His numbers looked okay. He goes, so hey, it was a relative non-event. But again, he was so intimidated. He'd been in business for 15, 18 years at that point. It wasn't like he was a newbie, you know, but he was afraid, right? So understanding, okay, if I'm up for a renewal, what does that mean? Okay. And what can they do? Are they just going to pull it away and they say, hey, give me the money. It's IOU. I'm calling it due. You got to pay me now or you can't leave the building kind of thing. Is that what happens?
No, they have documents to say they could do that, but they don't do that.
Usually what happens is what this banker says. Hey, if you can't pay it now, that's okay. We'll take that 50,000 US. We'll put it in a term note and you can pay it over the next 5 years. And hey, it's a win for you because you don't have to write a big check today or come with a bunch of cash. You can pay it over time. And it's a win for the banker because, hey, guess what? They make money by charging interest, right? That's part of one of the ways that they make money, right? And so understanding how the banks work. And so one of the things that we suggest people to do, Jack, is to meet with your banker on a regular basis. Okay. And it doesn't need to be weekly or monthly, but maybe once a quarter, maybe a couple times a year, to sit down and talk to the banker and help understand what you're doing. And I know I can hear it already, Jack. I can hear, you know what? I've had 17 bankers the last 6 years, Jack. And they come and go, they get promoted, they go to a different bank. I am tired of educating my bank about what we do. I keep having the same discussion and it's a waste of my time. It's not a waste of your time, okay? Because you got to understand what they're doing. Understand that the number one advocate for you in the bank is that banker. They're your person who's going to fight for you if they know, like, and trust you and feel good about you.
I was just going to say, unless the reputation or the reputation of you and the banker are known to each other and are comfortable with each other, it's like building any network, you know, going through and working on it. You have to do that if you want to minimize things like intimidation. You know, if you have all these internal resources, you got somebody who's making your financial statements available to you. Why wouldn't you be talking to that person a couple of times a week? Just keep going through those financials. You do that. That's important. You visit with your banker once a quarter, once a year, at least once, twice a year, call them up, do whatever. But basically keep contact with them. Hey, Adam, I just finally understood what you were talking about last time we talked about the balance sheet and blah, blah, blah. Kind of share a little silly experience. But you're getting better if you talk to people, just your own bookkeeper or accountant, regularly. Be nice if it were weekly, and it should be weekly, in my opinion, if you don't know anything about financial statements. But then when it comes time to get that banker's call and you're setting up an appointment, okay, you'll be able to prepare for your meeting. Hey, Mr. Banker, what do you want to see? What should I bring along to this meeting? Well, Jack, bring your balance sheet and your profit and loss. And if you have any forecast of cash and, you know, you owe us $200,000 on your line of credit, you know, how will that be paid back? Something like that. You know, he or she will give you relatively simple, not instructions, but simple requests to bring along with you.
In their mind, it's simple requests. Yeah, there's the kind of roll. Well, everybody has these things at their beck and call. Right? It's right there. You just pull it off the top pile. Here it is, right?
Yeah, but if you've been working with your internal accountant casually, informally, hey, look, I looked at our last financial statement. And what does this stuff mean? I don't know what the hell I'm looking at. If you go through a few of these sessions, all of a sudden you will know what you're looking at. And when you get a banker's call, you're going to know, okay, he wants these statements. At least you'll know what those statements are.
Right.
And if you've been asking about what's on them, you're going to be further ahead and you'll be able to prepare. do a little role playing there, do a little preparation. It's quite frankly that easy, but it takes a commitment. Many people just don't like the financials until they learn how to read them. And then you can't shut them up. They go crazy with numbers, and they get very good at it, as they should. You as the owner should. So it's you know, stop the intimidation by arming yourself with knowledge and education on what these things do.
And as you start to meet with them on a regular basis, Jack, what happens is that relationship starts to form. You start to get to know each other. You start to get a chance, to your point, to open up a little bit. You become a little bit more vulnerable and saying, hey, here's what's kind of going on. So you're giving them the real story, because you start to understand what they can and cannot do and what they do and don't want to do, right? And so, again, a big part of this, too, is you want to understand how that bank works. Because, again, each bank's a little bit different in terms of how they look at things, in terms of their appetite for any kind of risk. In terms of how they motivate and incent people. So is it important for you to maybe ask your banker, hey, how can I help you? Figure out how does she get compensated? How does she
Great question.
Get reviewed, right? Yeah. It might be something as simple as it sounds. Hey, you know what? If you can open another bank account for me, you know, that's a big thing for me. Okay, well, hey, is there a way for me to be able to do that? Or introduce me to this, where it might be, but just ask how you can help them. Here is also, you're being viewed as a source of you're able to and willing to help them as well as part of this. So as you start to understand what kind of goes on, you can then understand how to approach things, right? Because what often happens, Jack, is, you know, again, people hear stories too, right? And I think most of us have friends, associates, folks that we know that have a bad banker story that sounds something like, hey, you know what? We've been a great customer for this bank for decades, Jack. And one day we get a phone call and they say, hey, Jack, it's been great doing business with you, but by the end of the year, we need to have you out of the bank. Well, what do you mean? Did I do something wrong? No, nothing to do with you at all. We've decided that we don't like those kind of assets anymore. We don't like your type of business anymore. And so somebody in the higher pay grade than me, Jack, has decided that here's what we're going to be doing. So, you know, it's been great knowing you, but hey, you got 6 months to kind of get things figured out and move things out of here. And we want to make sure that we're paid by that date. So it's been nice knowing you, right? So I think people have a lot of those stories that they've heard where, hey, all of a sudden I just get thrown out, you know, for no good reason. And it can make people very upset in terms of what's kind of going on. And, or you get the call, like we had a client, this happened 2 years ago, who made it through the workout group and lived to tell about it, Jack, right? It's one of those parts of the bank people don't miss and maybe know about, right? But, you know, this client gets the phone call that says, hey, you know, his relationship, his banker for years says, hey, I introduced you to a new person. Here's Joe, right? Joe's going to be your new contact in the bank. Oh, who's Joe? Well, hey, Joe works in the workout group, or he works in the special asset group, or they have some fancy name for it, right? Well, guess what? You just got put in the timeout chair, Jack, or you got put in the something.
That's a good, that's right, timeout chair.
Where, and the workout
part. We got to look
at
you a little closer.
Right. The workout part isn't we're going to come in and do a bunch of push-ups and pull-ups and sit-ups and crunches. It's, we're trying to work you out of the bank for the most part. It means once you've gotten there, it means that, hey, you know, all those documents you sign and you've got different covenants and things aren't quite working well. You aren't quite necessarily maybe paying it back the way that they want to be kind of paid back. But so we had a client who had gotten toughened to the banking process, you know, through this, got put into the workout group and worked his way out of it. Got the bank paid back, got worked back into the good graces of the bank. And all of a sudden he's back in, you know, and things are going well. It took a couple of years to get him there. But he was able to come back to what you said, Jack. He was able to present a good plan, forecast. Here's what's kind of going on. Here's how I'm going to get you guys, you know, made whole. Again, so he's presenting to them and what they want to hear, which is how you taking care of us, right?
Okay, that's right. Explain that. They gave you the money because they want it paid back with interest. That's their business. So that's your story. Not complaining, not doing other esoteric things, just telling them how they're going to be paid back with interest. And if we can keep that subject discussion, we're in pretty good shape.
And so as you might imagine, that leash was very short to start with, right? Hey, let's see how you do this month and this quarter, okay? And if it starts to do well and the things you're telling me come to fruition, that leash gets lengthened a little bit, okay? We give you some more leeway in terms of what's kind of going on, in terms of how you're doing what you're doing. And something that's very key to keep in mind with these things, Jack, is the last thing the bank wants is for you to dangle your keys to them. So here you go. You take it, right? It's yours, right? Whether it be the vehicle, the equipment, the business. The last thing the banker, that banker, that suit and tie, You give them the keys to your place. That tie starts to tighten up on that around their neck a little bit, Jack, and they have trouble kind of breathing, right? Because they know, what the heck am I going to do walking into your company? I can't run this place, right?
All they know is that there'll be a big loss because they have to take on additional costs of consulting or selling it at a very low price, you know, through the courts. It becomes ugly, and it doesn't have to be that way. A, it should never get that way if we're looking at the numbers anyway on a regular basis, for the most part. But basically, it doesn't have to be that way. You can usually work yourself out of most problems. We just finished this crazy virus thing. And we didn't finish it yet, but...
We're working our way through it.
Certain things you can't help, but...
Well, one of the things that's key too, Jack, when we talk about this, you know, the idea of trying to go and put your best foot forward and presenting and practicing and kind of, you know, and getting in front of the bankers, you know, the best time to do this, Jack, is when you don't need the money. All right. You know, it's not that you don't approach a banker when you do need the money. It's a matter of how you go approaching it. But if you're under all kinds of mental stress and things aren't going well and you aren't comfortable with your numbers, that's probably not the first time you want to go present to your banker, right? And you know what happens is, again, it's always good to go when you don't need it. You know, we had a client years ago, Jack, who, if you remember this or not, but they had when they first started out, instead of going to the bank to get money, they had some equity in their home, and so they went to the bank personally and got a home equity line of credit to be able to kind of fund some stuff, right? And so when we met them, they were probably 4 or 5 years into the business. The business was doing very well. It was profitable. There was a very clean balance sheet. Look and say, what's going on? Well, we have this debt on here to the shareholder. Well, what's this? Well, that's our personal, you know, our home equity line of credit. It's like, well, have you gone to the bank and asked them for a line of credit? I mean, the banks do this, like, they, you know, versus you having to put your house up. They just give you a line of credit to run the business. You got, you know, a good history of the business here. And, you know, why lock your house up into this, right? Can we do that, right? Well, can we do that? It's like, heck,
that's right.
And this is the time to do it because you don't need the money. You can show it to them that you don't need the money, and they're happy to give it to you at that point, right? So it's, you know, the timing of this stuff can often be important too, to make sure that you're going to talk at the right time. And as you're getting prepared for that, you know, having those more comfortable discussions first make it easier to have that more difficult or uncomfortable discussion where maybe some things aren't so good, Jack.
So how do I stop being intimidated? Well, develop your relationship with the banker. That takes a little effort on your part, just a little effort. Visit with them now that we have Zoom embedded in our systems here. You could have a Zoom meeting with them once a quarter, at least. You basically prepare for your meeting, but you can't prepare like the day before, first time ever. Take little tiny steps. Maybe I'd do it weekly, personally. Talk to your accountant a little bit. Say I'd like to get educated. And look over your financial statements and circle things and say, let's talk about these items today. And you'll be surprised at how smart you get very fast with understanding your financials. Practice your meeting. If you know, you can anticipate the questions. Again, the banker's looking for payback on the loan that they gave you and have interest attached to it. That's what they're looking for. That's what it all boils down to. So how can we best do this? And I can run my company better with your help, Mr. Banker. And basically practice and role play. That's in effect what we're talking about here. So you do that and the intimidation should melt away over months. Months, that's about all it takes to get a good working relationship going and a good working knowledge of your financials. That's how you stop intimidation.
It's a good way to do it, Jack. That's a good way to do it. And again, as you get through that course, you'll start to realize that, hey, the bankers can be pretty good for you. It can be a tremendous asset for you, and they can help you. Because again, like everybody else, they want to help. They want to help you.
Right.
So you gotta help them help you, right? Kind of thing. You know, make it a little bit easier for them. And so that's kind of, again, that's a quick good overview in terms of how do you kind of avoid that. So those are key things that we kind of, you know, covered today to help you make sure that that banking relationship can be very, very good, very fruitful for you, very positive for you versus being a negative or being very, very tough for you, and can help you and your business, you know, succeed. And I think your points, Jack, about, you know, getting that preparation down and the practice and role playing is a big part of this stuff. The more you practice, the better you're going to get at, and the more natural you'll feel, you know, as part of that. And that will come across. You being more relaxed will come across. Right.
Comfortable and confident.
Excellent. So that's our show for this week. I appreciate you listening. Again, hopefully you've seen yourself or things that maybe you haven't been doing so well, maybe things you are doing so well when it comes to your banker, and learn some ways to kind of make that work better for you. If you missed any of our prior shows, you can get them all at our website, dirtysecretsofsmallbusiness.com. We also have a Facebook page by the same name. Better yet, if you want to get it, if you have a smart device, you can go to whatever podcast players you listen to, whether it be Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. You go there and you subscribe to Dirty Secrets of Small Business. We usually drop a new show every Thursday morning. It'll be delivered right to your smart device when it's there and ready to go. If you tune in next week, we're going to be talking next week about you and leadership, and particularly how do you get better as a leader? You know, what stuff do you do to get better as leaders? We'll share some ideas about that next week in terms of how to kind of go about doing that. In the meantime, if you want to reach out, have any questions or thoughts on that leadership topic or other areas, feel free to reach out. You can email us at radio@maximumvp.com. Again, that's radio@maximumvp.com, or give us a call, 877-849-0670. So it's been a good show. Appreciate you listening, and we'll talk with you all next week.
See ya.